Because of the work that I do, I often feel like I get a little sneak peek of what is going on because of different themes that come up in my clinical work. And a theme that has been coming up a lot lately is how employers are taking care of or not taking care of their employees' financial well-being. Probably no surprise, but financial stress is incredibly high right now, and employees are saying that that financial stress is bleeding out into other areas of their life, whether it is the very real fear of not having enough money to pay bills or being worried about not being able to achieve savings goals. Many workers feel like they are trapped in this cycle, and when they turn to their employers for help or for guidance, they're often met with pamphlet on how to budget or how to save more. And instead, I want to offer some insights as a financial therapist on what you might be doing if you're an employer to help encourage your employees' well-being. And if you're an employee, you might want to listen to this and maybe send it to your HR bestie at work. If you're new here, my name is Lindsay. I'm a certified financial therapist, licensed social worker, and author of the book, The Financial Anxiety Solution. I help people at the intersection of money and mental health, AKA financial wellness. I'm going to put on, the nerdy glasses today and share some statistics from the HR world regarding how employees are feeling about what's going on in their wallets and in their bank accounts and how it's impacting how they show up at work. We'll start on the employer side or the company side, and then we'll talk about how it impacts employees. Over half of Americans have less than 3 months of expenses in a savings account that they can tap in the event of an emergency. According to the HR services provider Wellright, these very real financial worries of not having enough money show up in the workplace because what they found is that financially stressed employees are losing about 15 hours of productivity every single week because they are distracted, they are putting out financial fires, or they're not showing up as their full selves because they're stressed about money. This 15-hour a week of productivity loss results in a $244 billion, yes, with a B, dollar loss on U.S. employees every single year. And if you're wondering, are my employees in that number? There's a good chance that they are because PricewaterhouseCoopers, or PwC, found that 76% of employees say, "Hey, I feel stressed about money, and that stress about money has impacted my productivity at work." Outside of the dollars and cents on the corporate side, let's talk about how it's showing up for your employees, or if you're an employee, how it might be showing up for you. When we don't have financial wellness, which is the ability to understand the basics of personal finance and feel good about taking action on those different tasks that are aligned with our values, we feel out of control with money, behind, stressed, and confused. So when we have financial wellness, we feel balanced, we can probably show up at work and in other areas of our lives feeling more grounded. But only 22% of U.S. employees say they feel financially well. That number is even lower among younger employees, with only 12% of Gen Zs saying that they feel financially well. Another study found that 41% of employees are currently living paycheck to paycheck, an increase of 38% from the before times, AKA before the pandemic. And what do we do when we're stressed about money, aside from not probably show up fully at work? We start looking for other jobs. 38% of financially stressed employees are actively searching for other jobs, with 75% of these job searchers actively saying they want to work with somebody or for somebody who cares more about their financial well-being. So, how do we actually take these two things and make meaningful change of them? I've got some ideas. Brightplan, who provides financial wellness support for companies, did a survey about people's overall well-being. In this survey of employee well-being, they found astounding numbers about what they want their employees to actually provide for them in the vein of financial well-being. Their survey found that 88% of employees expect employers to offer them tools for investing, 87% want access to financial education, and 84% would like access to a financial professional, such as a planner, counselor, or therapist. So the overwhelming majority of people are saying, not only do I want a paycheck, but I also want some of these benefits that help demonstrate to me that my employer cares about my financial well-being. And when I talk about financial well-being, I see a lot of employers tell me that they're already doing financial well-being. They're offering financial well-being services. And when I inquire about what that means, they're often saying things like, well, we have a retirement plan that they can opt into. Or we had somebody talk about saving up for a mortgage during Financial Literacy Week. Or we had a financial advisor available in the conference room that people could go visit as needed. And it's not that any of those things are inherently bad, but it's just saying, if that's all you're doing, these one-off things, you're not really creating a culture where your employees feel safe talking about money, asking for money, and also getting the benefits of their financial well-being so they can show up fully in their role. So instead of just having somebody hang out in your conference room and talk about life insurance or retirement, here are some really good questions if you're an employer to think about, what can we do to be more holistic and offering financial wellness benefits to our employees? First, ask whether you are paying a living wage. I've talked about a living wage in a different video, but the living wage is different than the minimum wage. The minimum wage is a government set floor for how little you are legally allowed to pay an employee. A living wage is a wage that has been determined by researchers at MIT who determine how much money a person needs to earn hourly in order to pay for their basic needs. Minimum wage is often much, much lower than what a living wage is. When we are not paying our employees a living wage, they're often trying to make ends meet by working multiple jobs, by cutting corners in their life and in their well-being to try and make ends meet. And we don't want that. And there often tends to be higher turnover. So rather than paying them the least amount that you can pay them that the government says you can pay them, I encourage you to look at the living wage calculator to help determine how much you should be paying your employees to honor their agency as a human and worth as a human and make sure that you're helping them to cover their needs. This kind of flows into the next question, which is, are we paying our employees enough so that they can pay for their basic needs and have a cushion? Living paycheck to paycheck is hella stressful. And if you can help alleviate that for your employees, you likely have a better employee buy-in, decreased turnover, and decreased financial stress. Along with that, with this cushion, do your employees know about what an emergency fund is, why it matters, and do you offer any sort of emergency fund benefit? This is a newer benefit that I've seen popping up over the last few years, which is something like after 90 days at the company, you get a $500 bonus to put toward your emergency fund. Or upon sign-on, we automatically open a high-yield savings account for you and start funding it and putting some of your money from every single paycheck into it to help you start cushioning your emergency fund? Are you thinking creatively about ways to give back to your employees? Are you contributing to your employees' retirement savings? Not just having a 401k available or a 403b available, but providing some sort of match as an incentive to help them save their money. The other thing I'll say about a match is that the match is fantastic for people who are able to put away money, but for your employees who aren't at a place where they can contribute additional money from their paycheck, can you just give them some money in their retirement in general as a baseline? And then if they are able to contribute more, that's a win. Oftentimes a match is a boon for employees, but we're often punishing the people who most need that retirement savings because we're saying the only people who get it are the people who are already able to afford putting away more money. The next question I want you to consider is, are the resources, are the experts that we're providing well-versed and well-rounded in the different factors that impact our employees' relationships with money? Are they aware of what's going on emotionally, psychologically, and systemically, or do they kind of eschew all that and just focus on the how-tos of money? If it's the latter, see what you can do to bring other experts in from the service that you currently use that might be a bit more well-rounded to help with buy-in. There's a ton of stigma around money and around financial wellness. So if we can have people who are more compassionate, more empathic, and more well-rounded in their worldview, it will likely increase your employees' buy-in around the benefits that you offer. Next question, do you encourage continuing education and growth at the company? Yes, in terms of if you do these things, then you can apply for a promotion, but also if an employee comes to you and says that they want to attend, you know, a $200 workshop that will benefit the company, how readily available are funds for things like professional growth and development? Next question, do we incorporate financial wellness into our workplace culture? There's a lot of talk about the culture of a workplace, but one thing that continues to be pretty quiet is how financial well-being or financial wellness shows up. Over the last 10, 20 years, I've seen a huge shift in caring about employees' emotional and mental well-being with even small things, things like fidget toys or stress balls that help to acknowledge that employees are stressed, they might have worries, and here are some small ways that we can acknowledge that and tend to that. How are you doing that in terms of financial wellness? Are you making sure that employees know really clearly what they need to do in order to go up for a promotion or how to enroll in the financial benefits that are available? Are you just kind of hands-off and letting them swim on and figure it out? Whether you do things like have emergency fund boosters or personalized financial planning workshops, there are so many different ways to think about incorporating financial wellness. Finally, do you provide financial therapy or financial therapy consulting or coaching services to your employees? Let me get into why I think you should consider it. Financial therapy digs deep into the emotional and psychological reasons around money management. So often we focus on how to save for retirement, make a budget, but we don't really focus on what gets in the way of making a budget or what might be hard about starting to save for retirement. And that's where a financial therapist can really come in and give your workplace a competitive edge around contributing to your employees' financial well-being. Surveys that show that when workplaces offer financial wellness initiatives, such as offering a financial therapist, there have been boosts in employee satisfaction, retention rates, and overall productivity. So why a financial therapist? A financial therapist can really help your team or your staff understand what's going on in their money story so they can feel good about the way in which they show up and take advantage of the benefits that you offer. You can even have tailored workshops. Shameless plug, I offer workshops on the power of setting fun goals. That's flexible, uplifting, and numbers-based, instead of SMART goals around achieving your financial goals. I also host workshops on understanding your money story and how to figure out what your financial boundaries are, continue to nurture your relationships while adhering to the things you want to say no to and yes to financially. If you're an employer and you're considering this, I would love to extend my services to help you offer guidance and support to your team around the intersection of money and mental health. If you're an employee, you know, like I said, forward this on to your business bestie. And it's not just me. Financial therapists are a growing group of professionals who are dedicated to helping people feel better about their relationship with money, and employee financial well-being is just one aspect of how we do it. If you want to inquire to hire me, go to mindmoneybalance.com/speaking. I will have it linked in the show notes. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you're tending to your financial well-being. I'll see you next time. Your support of this podcast means the absolute world. If you love listening, I would love if you could help me out by quickly rating and reviewing this podcast on the podcast player you're using right now. This quick but meaningful action helps to support the show, and it helps others find it too. I absolutely love connecting with my listeners. So if something resonated from today's episode, take a screenshot of the episode, share it out on your stories, and be sure to tag me on Instagram at mindmoneybalance. This podcast simply wouldn't be possible without the help of others. Thank you to RJ Basillo for masterfully editing this podcast, to Liberty Sales, who creatively and brilliantly helps market the show to help those who need it find it by leveraging her public health communication skills. And thank you to Leslie Tagorda and Jeffrey Campanero of Star Powered, who've infused their creative genius into the cover and episode art with the unique magic of the Astro Brand astrology-based branding process. Disclaimer. Everything shared on this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Neither the host nor the guests are providing legal, financial, accounting, mental health, investing, medical, or any other professional advice. If you are seeking professional help, please find it. See you next time.